What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland on 846 4CA.
Well, what a pleasure this is. We have President and Chief Executive Queensland Police Union, Ian Leavers, actually in studio today. Welcome, Ian.
Thanks, John, and it's great to be in Cairns.
I'm trying to remember how many times we have discussed matters of great importance over the years. It's quite a few.
Absolutely it is, and John, I know we've got issues in across the state, but youth crime is a particular issue where I know, John, we can't arrest our way out of it, but there's no other alternative from some of these young criminals, which is what they are. They need to be locked up, but the families and others have got to start doing their job, John, because it's just unsustainable. I talk to business owners within Cairns. They've had enough.
Yes.
We see the attacks upon people. It's just absolutely unacceptable, and I love being in Cairns. It's a great place, but these people need to be stopped.
You talk about the families taking more responsibility. I talked to some of the people, including Indigenous people, that go out to counsel mum and dad about sending the children to school. When they get to the front door, they realise mum and dad are out cold already at 10 o'clock in the morning from booze or whatever. And they've got an 8 or 9 year old looking after the breakfast feeding of the next 2 or 3 kids down. And it's train smash. So they don't know where to start. I mean, the people are at the coalface, so where on earth do we start with this? Because there's no way the parents are going to have the slightest interest in making sure their kid goes to school.
You're absolutely right, John. I think it's got to be where all levels of government come together. Let's strip the welfare for a start. The other part is I did a National Youth Crime Symposium to look at the youth crime issue. And what it suggests is we know a lot of these young kids are born with the alcohol fetal syndrome and other issues.
Yep.
So we need to engage with other agencies when a child is born and in the very early years. By the time they've got to 4 and 5, it can be too late. We've got to change the culture. We've got to work with the families. We've got to empower them, but they've got to be responsible. Because I've said this line before, John, some of these parents, I wouldn't leave them in charge of a house brick, let alone a child, John. And I think that's where it's got to start. But we need other agencies. It's not just a policing response. By the time it's a policing response, it's too late, John.
Yeah. What I really appreciate you is you tell it as it is. So many people skirt around the reality because it's politically sensitive, politically inappropriate or whatever. But you go straight to the truth, which is so important. We'll never solve this nightmare by skirting around the reality.
No, you're right, John. And what we can do and what police are doing now, they're locking these young criminals up and they're doing their job. Others are not doing their job. But we know that's a band-aid solution. So what has to occur, we've got to get involved early to affect generational change. And, you know, I look at other things, John, that's there's an opportunity for the Attorney General, Yvette Dart, to step up and make some changes. And that is when it comes to the legislation, so we can do things, have other agencies work in. But the frustration on behalf of police is we're doing our job, we'll continue to do it. We deal with the victims day in, day out. That takes a toll on us. And sadly, we're let down by the courts. And the people of North Queensland only know that too well. But another issue we're struggling with in policing, John, is domestic violence. The legislation is unworkable, it is cumbersome, and we are seeing police officers spend their entire shift just doing domestic violence related work when they need to be out doing other things as well. And I'm after simplification of processes, bring us into 2023 instead of 1992, but Yvette Dart just will not lift a finger and he's not interested. Let's bring about change, because the other result on the flip side, John, is we're not seeing visible policing in the community, which is why there is a rise in crime. And the community is saying, what is going on? Well, our hands are tied, John, as police, but we're going to keep locking people up, we're going to keep doing our job, but I need massive changes in legislation so we can be freed up to do other things, because a lot of these other social issues, John, it's no surprise, it's not just a policing response. There are other agencies who are paid well who need to get off their backsides, John, and start doing their
job. Thank you, exactly. Don't go away. I've got to take you to the Courier Mail, page 5 today. It's under the heading, Police Geared Up to Trial New Long-Range Tasers. Queensland Police will be armed with powerful new tasers, which the state government says will improve officer safety. while potentially reducing the need to use firearms by force. Dozens of high-tech Taser 10s will be distributed as part of a new trial to be unveiled today, with the weapons capable of a range three times the current devices. Police Minister Mark Ryan said the state-of-the-art technology will also improve officer safety through the capability of shooting multiple rounds. Now, Queensland will become the first jurisdiction outside of America to access the Taser 10s, which can be fired from a distance of nearly 14 metres. Queensland Police Union President Ian Leavers welcomed the new equipment to improve officer safety. He said the union had urged the state government and police to arm officers with the advanced technology. This is an interesting one. There has been quite a deal. Well, there's often debate about the use of the taser that we've got at the moment. I don't know specifically all the reasons. They vary from time to time, but invariably it's high-level attention in the papers, with some suggestions that police are too quick to use it or whatever. This change, where you're actually, 14 metres away, give me an idea of why that makes it in some ways safer for you and safer for the potential victim because of that 14 metres.
Yeah, what it does, John, it has the capability, I'm told, to up to 12 metres. But what it enables us to do with the current taser, which when it was bought in 2008 or 7, it made a great difference because on the immediate presentation, the subjects complied with police. But what we've seen with the old model, two prongs go out and both prongs have to connect to complete the cycle. If the cycle is not completed, they are ineffective. With this new taser, it has up to 10 prongs.
Okay.
So if the cycle is not completed, with the new taser, it has a laser, so it helps us on identifying the target and where we need to point it, as well as it has a flashing strobe light, so the subject person is aware that police are going to use the taser, so they can be under no illusions what is about to occur. Mm. But if the cycle is initially not completed, instead of taking the old cartridge off and putting another one on in a stressful situation, we can fire another round, and if that completes the circuit, we can then try and modify the behaviour of the violent person. So we're trying to resolve things peacefully. This is great technology.
But yes.
Other bonuses, John, once you draw the taser now with this new model, it automatically activates the body-worn video. And also at the end of the shift, when it is downloaded, all that data is captured, which makes it easier for recording purposes and certainly administration, the integrity, John, so we can evaluate it. So it's about getting smarter, using smarter technology. We identified this in the USA, and I spoke to Police Minister Mark Ryan. He was absolutely on board, and I've got to thank him for his support, but also my colleagues in the police service who have been working tirelessly in relation to the trials to make this happen.
I've got to take you to another matter, and this is one that is the bane of our existence here in Cairns. We've had the most beautiful city, we still have, but it's going to the dogs. Why? There's no effective action being taken by authorities over this plague of children, out-of-control children. And it's not kids stealing lollies from Coles and Woolies. These are kids bashing the living daylights out of their victims, like this one, for example, in the Cairns Post today. It's under the heading Student Attacked. Police are calling for information after a student was attacked and robbed while riding her bike in Manunda. The 27-year-old Japanese woman was riding along Mayor Street, 7:30 p.m, when she was approached by a group of teenagers near Anderson Street. Now, I talked to the police officer. He said they were aged between 10 and 14. I mean, these are kids, some of the primary school kids, I presume. The woman had been was then knocked off her bicycle. She was beaten several times. Not just once. Oh, no, we'll give her another touch-up. And it's just horrendous. This is a little Japanese girl, and the students come here, and they're so defenceless and naive. Anyway, she was beaten several times by the group, who then ran away with her wallet. And police, of course, investigating. They're asking people for CCTV dash cam. If they are rounded up, they're taken to the juvenile justice court and the revolving door takes over again. They're probably inconvenienced for half an hour or something, and straight back out into again. The juvenile justice system, I know it's not your area of jurisdiction, but it's the festering sore in our attempts to get a safe Cairns back again.
It is, John, and we've got to step up, and there's got to be generational change, because these young criminals, and it's interesting you talk to the people who are pretty soft out there, and they say, oh, they're just a misguided young person. What a load of rubbish, John. And I've worked in the Child Protection Investigation. It used to be the Juvenile Aid Bureau. We did turn around 90% of kids, but for these other ones, they need to be dealt with and dealt with harshly. This is absolutely unacceptable. That young girl did not deserve, nor was it warranted, and those people need perhaps a taste of their own medicine. Not that I'm calling for vigilantes, John, but as I said to you before, I remember the brothers at school, I copped the strap a few times, and I may have learned as a result, John, but they've got to be incarcerated. This is unacceptable, and they need to know it's wrong. But what are their parents doing? Because if I would come home and I'd have done that, my parents would have dealt with me accordingly. So the parents need to step up. They're allowed to take corrective action when it comes to dealing with these kids, but they've got to step up and be responsible, John, because we've all had a gutful of it. And I don't know whether that young girl was a tourist or a student.
She's a student.
It's really damaging for the economy here in Cairns, and that's not the Australian one. No one deserves to be flogged or beaten up like that and repeatedly. Dreadful. I know what I'd like to do to these young people, and let's say they wouldn't like what they would get.
But the one last week, right in the middle of town, at lunchtime, would you believe, on the Esplanade corner, Shield Street, little Japanese girl working in the shop there. They grabbed the tips jar, three young girls, walked outside, took off with it. She chased after them. They turned on her and belted the living daylights out of her in front of all the tourists, all the people, midday. It was lunchtime in our CBD, and belted the living daylights out of her, allegedly. So to their great credit, the police were taking pictures of the camera coverage, and they were able to pursue them. They split into two, but they rounded them up. But once again, you say, all that effort, they go before the magistrate, out again, possibly back in town in the afternoon. I mean, this is what is driving us crazy. Can I just share this one with you? Once again, today's Cairns Post. It's under the heading, Controlled Youth Crime Now. Very timely arrival in Cairns today, I've got to tell you, Ian. I'm so pleased you're here. A Cairns restaurant owner has expressed disbelief at the Queensland government's deadline for a youth detention centre after his business was robbed by brazen juvenile thieves. Paul Harris, he's got the bistro, Blue Marlin Bistro, down at the marina. He's witnessed numerous incidents, juvenile crime along the restaurant stretch. He said juveniles had previously trashed his alfresco area and defecated. This goes on all the time. Defecated in nearby plants. Anyway, July 11, the group of juveniles smashed the porcelain pots and used the pottery shards to allegedly assault workers at a neighbouring restaurant. Did they assault the daylights out of them? It was just dreadful. Then on July 30, and these are kids. Then on July 30, when the cleaner was still at work, two young girls pilfered the tip jar. This is a specialty of these people. Shot through with $400. Now, Di Farmer, the Youth Justice Minister, last week told a Senate Estimates hearing the government planned to open the Youth Detention Centre by 2026. Down in Cleveland, you've got 112 beds.
Yes.
She's planning 40. The suggestion is it's likely to be Edmonton in the suburbs here. Any number of people saying, get them out of town. Get them out of town, because as soon as they're going to get out of the detention centre here at Edmonton, there's every likelihood, according to a lot of observers, they'll be straight back into it again. What's wrong with getting them out of town? What's wrong with what used to work? Giving these kids some skills. If they're out of town, they're not going out to steal cars at night. They might be able to focus on things, get some skills, and not face an extended part of their life in Lotus Glen. You would think there would be some logic in that, but no, we're going to build it here, and a lot of people are saying 40 beds won't touch the sides. It'll be filled in 2 or 3 weeks. So there's various aspects of this juvenile justice, this detention centre here. We've been talking about it for years. In fact, Kit DeLacy used to talk about it back in the 90s. Now it's coming. It's still 3 years away, or they're still talking about now 2026. So it's almost over the horizon.
Yeah, John, there's got to be other options, and I'm all for building another detention facility because the community needs to be protected. But we've got to look at other options that are available to give young people an opportunity to get some skills and know what it's like to go and earn a dollar.
Exactly.
And see the value for working, John, because sadly, they know no better because of the environment they've been brought up in, but they need to be actually taught some skills. And I was talking earlier today, you know, with the recruitment drive in policing. Wouldn't it be good if we could get in earlier and get some of these young kids, and predominantly their First Nations kids, that I've got to call it for what it is because the stats are what it is, if we can divert them and they can go to do meaningful things within life. I think that's where we've got to get to, but that's the generational change, but the short fix has got to be detention, but other things, whether we put them into other areas outside of the main cities and teach them skills, give them some responsibility and see the value for work and working with one another, because just locking them up in a cell is not the only option, John, because what happens is they only graduate to go to Lotus Glen and other facilities around the state.
Oh, thank you. Exactly. Look, I know your time's running down and you're very busy here today too, but can I just ask you about this business of recruiting? I think in total figures last year, we went backwards in numbers of police recruits or police available for jobs like the beat in our CBD. Where are we going with recruitment of officers, and why is it so slow and people don't want to be police officers anymore?
I'm really frustrated at this, John. I think policing is a great career, but we've seen over time police are the only people responsible 24/7 across the state of Queensland, and they're becoming frustrated. And we're seeing, and this is where Yvette Darth needs to step up and fix the domestic violence legislation, because people are joining the police. Mm. All they're doing is domestic violence and mental health, and they're saying, this is not the job for me. Mm. I'm moving on to something else. What I'm trying to do on a short-term solution, I've worked with the Commissioner of Police and Mark Ryan. Mm. We're looking to recruit people from overseas, and we certainly have got a great campaign in New Zealand and the UK. And why wouldn't you come from either one of those countries and come and live in Queensland, and where you can double your pay, better conditions and have a better lifestyle? But what we need to do in the future is to look at the positives of policing. Like in your first year of policing, John, you can be on a package of over $100,000 a year, and it is a rewarding career. Mm. But sadly, all we ever hear at times is the 5% of the community who despise police,
yes,
give us a hard time day in, day out. Mm. They're the only ones that are heard. And fortunately, I'm in a position where 95% of the people respect police, and they come towards us and they show that gratitude. That's where we need to concentrate on, but just respect the police, give them an opportunity, but police need to be backed up by the courts, because police start to lose faith. We'll never give up on the community, but it's pretty frustrating when we feel like we're batting our head against a brick wall when the judiciary and other agencies are letting us down,
exactly.
John.
Just before you go, in fact, it was the former Deputy Commissioner Paul Taylor passed this on to me. He said the truancy situation, you know, so, oh, those 15% didn't go to school, you know, enough days or whatever. He said there are some kids out there that never go to school.
That's right.
And they're missed entirely by these figures. He's saying, please, is there a way we can get the fact that so many of these children never get any education at all, simply because there's no one there fundamentally forcing on them or their parents to attend school? That's a hell of a challenge, isn't it? We're talking about thousands of them.
It's a real challenge, John, and that's where Youth Justice need to work with child safety in the education department and come up with a solution. And as we know, it's not just now in education, it's you sit in a classroom, that's the only way to work, to learn. There are many other models where people can learn, and we need to look at that, because I can tell you, John, if we set up different types of facilities where people can learn, and some of that can be manual work, it's not necessarily just reading a textbook or information on a computer.
Yes.
We can teach these young people some skills, and there can be a values, and they can learn and be productive in society. And Paul Taylor's exactly right. Him and I have had a lot of work to do on this. We've been to remote communities.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've actually tried to encourage the elders. They've got to lead by example, and then the young people will take that, will follow that lead, John. That's where we've got to get to, but they've got to be part of the solution. It just can't be us coming in over the top and telling, but other agencies need to step up and look at non-traditional methods and see how that works. Because you know what, John? We've got nothing to lose.
Thank you. I'd forgotten about that. So you used to work quite closely with Paul Taylor.
Yeah, we did a lot for the North and the Northwest, and then providing resources. We were pretty passionate about that, and we did delivered a lot of good resources and tried to improve the conditions of police. And we did through our enterprise bargaining. Our police in the North and the Northwest certainly were the beneficiaries in the last 5 years of increased remuneration and travel and things like that. And we actually worked as a partnership. And as Paul and I would say, there were 5 to 10% of things we'd never agree on, but 90% we did. So let's work on the 90% and kick a goal. That's what it's about, John. Yeah. It's about our people.
Gee, it's good having you in studio today. I wish you'd set up an office up here in Cairns.
I wouldn't mind, John. I've got to tell you, it's better than Brisbane.
This has been fascinating today. Ian Leavers, thank you. Ian Leavers is the President and Chief Executive of the Queensland Police Union.